Mark Blakeman and Marie McDermott, welcome to KOSU, and congratulations on launching the McKnight Chamber Music Festival, the first series of events under the McKnight Center banner. Let's start by talking to you both about what it means to get this festival to this point. Mark?
Well, for the McKnight Center, we don't open until October of 2019. I've been on board now for about a year, and I just thought, well, it's a really long time to wait for some great music to happen. So this is a very intentional effort to start to introduce what it is that we're going to be doing at the McKnight Center every week once we open. So we wanted to bring this out to the community early so that people could start to experience this great music, this great art. And also there are multiple dimensions to this. It's not only performances, but there's a lot of teaching that's going on. We have youth education concert and master classes for the OSU students. And we're giving a gift back to the community. We have a free community concert. So there are a lot of different pieces to this, and it really is a blueprint for the work that we're going to do consistently once the McKnight Center is open.
Anne-Marie?
Yes, well, it's great to be here with you today. Thank you. It's really a joy to be collaborating with Mark Blakeman on this week-long chamber music festival. You know, my life has been seeped in chamber music, and I am completely in love with it. And bringing that joy of music making to this community, and as Mark said, that will then evolve into everything that the McKnight Center for the Performing Arts will do in the future. There's no greater joy for me than bringing that into the community. And, you know, I find chamber music and music making in general, it's very addictive. Once people get to experience it live, you know, there's nothing like live music and being right there in the room, that then people get more and more comfortable with it and more attached to it and crave it more and more. So it's, you know, it's a great privilege putting this together this week.
Mark, you alluded to some of the education and programmatic elements of the
yes.
festival. Kind of walk us through and talk to us
about
that.
I'll kind of lay out what the opportunities are, and then maybe Anne-Marie can talk more specifically about the actual programs, mm-hmm. The repertoire itself. But we have three what we call soirees. These are salon concerts, and we're actually performing in Tulsa at the Philbrook Museum, in Oklahoma City at Gallardia Country Club, and here on the OSU campus. These are very intimate settings, small audiences. This is a tradition. These very intimate concerts have been taking place for hundreds of years, and so it's a very unique experience because you very much are in the same space with the musicians. There's this great connectedness that happens in these particular settings. So we have those three performances. On Wednesday of this week, we have 650 students from Stillwater Public Schools coming in for a youth education concert, which is a storytelling-based concert, which will be really terrific. And we just recently announced a partnership with Stillwater Public Schools. And on Saturday, we have a free community concert. That's at 7:30 on Saturday, April 14th. At the Saratine Center, and this is a gift back to the community. There are no barriers. Anybody that wants to attend can attend. We want to see a full house, and it's just a way to really share very broadly with everybody in the community. And so in addition to all of those performances, all of our visiting artists are teaching while they're here in Stillwater. So that actually started this morning. In fact, Anne-Marie just came from a masterclass where she was working with OSU piano students. So not only great performances, but also great learning opportunities while we're doing the festival.
Yeah, and you know, I tried in putting together the artists who would come for this week. I always try and look at musicians who have a great passion, obviously, for playing chamber music, who are very revered in the industry, but also who are nice people who want to connect with other people and, very importantly, connect with the students. There's no greater thing than I had such a great time this morning working with these OSU piano students. Then I hope they'll come to the concert on Saturday and we can form a relationship and you know, more and more It really is a lot about relationship building. So once I got this, it's just an incredible group of musicians. We have Amy Schwartz Moretti, a violinist, who's the director of strings at the McDuffie Center for Strings in Georgia. And we have Alex Carr, who is the concertmaster of the Dallas Symphony. Roberto Diaz, he's a violist and also happens to be the president of the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia. And we have the great diva superstar, soprano, Susanna Phillips, with us this week. And she even brought her four-month-old little girl, Grace. And then we have the principal clarinetist from the Milwaukee Symphony, Todd Levy, and the cellist from the St. Lawrence String Quartet, Chris Costanza. So with putting these programs together, I thought it would be fun to create a bit of a theme for each one of these evenings. You know, as Mark mentioned, the tradition of soirees go back hundreds of years. And this gorgeous marriage of wine and great food and friendship and music. Most of this music we're playing this week was premiered in living rooms and parlors, that kind of thing. So our opening soiree is called The Soul of Gypsy, and has some Haydn and some Dvorak songs and a Weber clarinet quintet. And then how could we not do a program devoted to Mozart? And so we're calling that program Amadeus, with a string duo and one of the piano quartets. And just for a little bit of quirkiness, I threw in the Poulenc clarinet sonata right in the middle of the Mozart. And then the final soiree program is called A Viennese Evening. And again, an irresistible idea of great, charming Viennese music. I'm finishing that program with a solo piano work that's not even published anymore by a pianist by the name of Alfred Grunfeld. And he wrote this piece called Soiree de Vienna. And in about 5 to 6 minutes, it's the opera Die Fledermaus. It's just fabulous. I really look forward to those programs. And then on Saturday night, we have a program that we titled Just Great Music. It didn't really need anything more than that. And we're having the Dvorak piano quintet and some Gershwin song arrangements with soprano, clarinet, and piano. And we're having only the second performance ever of a clarinet trio by a musicologist / composer who's with us all week, Bruce Adolph. And then this Handel-Halvorsen duo for violin and viola. So it's just great music, as it says. And what's really fun is for the family concert on Wednesday, we invited Bruce Adolph, this amazing genius mind. Bruce has had a relationship for over 20 years with the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. And he's a brilliant lecturer and composer. And so he's giving a talk here on campus tomorrow afternoon, actually called Unleashing Your Creativity, for the whole student body, whoever wants to come. And then he wrote a piece called Little Red Riding Hood, My, What Big Ears You Have. And so that's the theme of the Wednesday family concert. And I've played the piece before, and it's utterly captivating, and kids love it. And so it's a very fun week of music making for all of us.
I'm just sitting here listening to you talking about your lineup of musicians and wondering how you wrangled all of those schedules.
You know, right? And that's what I think, truly, that when you have a great project that you're pursuing, and musicians can see that, and when they started to hear about the McKnight Center for the Performing Arts, and I wrote to each of them individually telling them about this transformational project going on here in Stillwater for the whole state of Oklahoma. I mean, really, in the whole country. This is big news, having this center being built right now. And that's what got all the musicians attracted to want to be part of the inaugural season of this. And another piece of the puzzle is putting together musicians who all love each other. Because then if I say, oh, Susanna's coming, and then I ask Todd, and Todd's like, oh, well, Susanna's coming, then I want to come. And then Chris Costanza's like, oh, and you'll be there, and Todd will be there. You know, so it's this great chemistry that I think shows in the performances as well, that we all love being together and rehearsing and playing concerts. And I was so happy with the responses that I got. Nobody said no. This was who I wanted to invite, and they all said yes.
We're visiting with Anne-Marie McDermott, Artistic Director of the McKnight Chamber Music Festival, and Mark Blakeman, Executive Director of the McKnight Center for the Performing Arts. Anne-Marie, if you could, tell us about getting the call to serve as Artistic Director, and then we're going to pivot to you, Mark, to kind of share with us the genesis story for this festival.
Absolutely. It was an incredible journey, actually, evolution that got me here to be the artistic director of this Chamber Music Festival. I am the artistic director of the Bravo Vail Festival in Vail, Colorado. An enormous festival, 6-week festival every summer. And through the course of that festival, I was fortunate enough to meet Ross and Billy McKnight. And we hit it off. They are the most wonderful people. And I heard Ross starting to talk about this project and having such a twinkle in his eye about this whole project. And so then I heard that it was actually happening and Mark Blakeman was brought on board. And it just seemed to naturally evolve that I was invited to come and put together this very first, the very first music making that will be the future for the McKnight Center for the Arts. It's one of the greatest privileges in my life, actually, to be able to do this at this juncture before the building's even complete. So I took it as a big responsibility to really try and set the standard at a very high place, because I have, you know, complete confidence that this is what the McKnight Center under Mark Blakeman's leadership will do in the future. So it's important we start out in a very vibrant, at a very vibrant and high level of music making. So that I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. Very fun.
And the genesis story, Mark, about how this festival came to be. I'm interested to learn more about that.
Well, I think that there are a couple of different pieces to that, but the McKnight Center as a new arts institution, you know, we're exploring, and this was a great opportunity for us to start concertizing well before the building actually opened. And that just is an incredible moment for us to start to connect with people. Anne-Marie talked earlier about relationships, and we've been using the word connecting, and certainly the music world is a small world. It's so relationship-based. But we were looking for an opportunity to get out in the community so that we could start to share music and people could start to understand what the work is that we'd be doing at the McKnight Center, and that these relationships that exist, that kind of the genesis of that coming from Bravo Vail and a common colleague that we have, John Giovando, who founded that festival. He's been involved with the McKnight Center very early on as a consultant and advising the board. And he was kind of that connector for us in helping to get this off the ground. And I'm really grateful, just to echo Anne-Marie, I think what I believe will be so special about the McKnight Center is not only the level of artistic quality, but that we will be able to do that in a very intimate setting. And I think that that is really how we organizationally look at positioning ourselves. So doing a chamber music festival, doing these soirees where we are creating these small intimate environments is a great template, precursor for what it is that people will experience once they come to the McKnight Center when we open next year.
I'm curious how launching a music festival such as this, what challenges are involved, given the fact that your facility is not open, no one has walked through your facility, no one has experienced a concert in your facility. So does that present any unique challenges as you're building this out, this festival out?
I think there are a myriad of challenges that we're facing, and it's simply there just are a lot of unknowns. You know, until you venture out and kind of take a risk, it's hard to know what kind of appetite there is in the community for these things. It's difficult to know what kind of financial support you might have for an activity like this. And what has been absolutely mind-blowing to me is that the response has been incredible. Our three soirees are completely full. They're at maximum capacity. And you know, many people, many more than we thought, have stepped up to help support what we're doing financially. And as a nonprofit arts organization, you have to have that. But until you go out and you do those things, it's very difficult to actually know how people will respond. So, you know, that's just kind of the basics. my team, we're preparing for opening a building, and here we are producing a festival. So, you know, it is a great opportunity for us, but I think that a team like mine, you're not usually out concertizing a year and a half out before your building opens. So, you know, we're ambitious. And so we've got a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of projects. And between now and when we have our next chamber music festival, we've got some other things planned in between. So, I mean, we're not going to slow down. This is just kind of the launch pad for a lot of really exciting stuff that's going to lead up to the opening of the facility.
You know, and I'd love to add to what Mark just said, because this was something revelatory to me when I was younger, and that is this marriage of the arts and great patronage. This has gone on for centuries and is critical, right? Never more critical than now. And I remember the very first time in a private home, I played a benefit concert. And I got up and I played for 45 minutes, and I think they raised $20,000 or something. And when I realized that, why did that happen? It's because there's a need. We all have a need. Humanity has a need to feed our aesthetic self. We really do. And when people realize that and have that experience, then they always need to have that experience. And patronage comes with the music making. They really go hand in hand. You know, I'm deeply grateful to all the patrons that I have up in Vail, Colorado, and the patrons who I'm meeting here. It's that dynamic is just inspiring, and it really brings a whole community together. Looking forward to the opening of this new performing arts center, you know, unique in this country, is.
You find that to be a universal thirst? Where
I do, yeah. I really do, because I think people. Which is why I'm very excited, by the way, about the complimentary concert we're doing on Saturday, because Mark has the most wonderful, inclusive attitude about the community, whether it's kids or parents or grandparents. Everybody's welcome. Let's all share this together. Let's just listen to great music and have a good time and enjoy each other's company and you know, stop thinking about the world at large and just focus on the joy of chamber music. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
And you're positioning it as a big thank you to the community.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And I think that's very important. You know, as an arts administrator, I think that arts organizations tend to live or die by how they respond to the communities where they exist. So really getting to know people, and that's been something I've been very active for many months now about going out in the community and talking, and I've been making the rounds. I've spoken now at almost all the public schools in Stillwater about upcoming programs at the McKnight Center. So I'm not just talking, I'm listening too, but we have to invite people into that conversation. So I think this is a great opportunity to do that.
Which leads to my next question regarding your partnership with Stillwater Public Schools, announced last week. Big things ahead.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the first meetings that I had when I came to Stillwater was I was introduced to the superintendent of Stillwater Public Schools. We had a conversation about the type of art experiences that the students in Stillwater have, the primary and secondary students, to experience professional performances. And it's relatively limited, and that just is a issue of geography. What I told him in that very first meeting was my dream would be that every student in every grade, every year, would come into the McKnight Center for a meaningful concert experience. So we call that every child, every grade, every year. And I think it's completely achievable. That's about 7,000 students. We're working toward programs that are aligned with teaching standards that all have curriculum associated with them. In some cases, professional development for teachers so that they can take those materials into the classroom. And we're also looking at strategic partnerships with other arts organizations, both on a national level and on a state level. But one that I think I will qualify this by saying this is not a done deal, but I believe we'll be a partner to the Carnegie Hall Link Up program, and I'll be back in New York next month for some meetings with Carnegie. So these are well-vetted programs that are successful, that are helping to support the work that teachers are doing in the classroom. And I'm really delighted that the school system and the superintendent, Mark Moore, has fully embraced this. They have become a great partner to us. And so we at the root of this, in my mind, is what we want to do at the McKnight Center is we want to be transformational. And we can do that with a lot of people, but if you really want to do that, I think you do it with children. You give children that opportunity. So, you know, we really want to inspire children. And so this is a great launch for us in that regard in our education programs. And we're reaching out to other school systems as well. We're not just committed to Stillwater Public Schools. We've already met with Perkins Superintendent, and we'll be going around to other school systems as well. So this is an opportunity for primary and secondary kids all throughout this region.
And of course, the future of education in Oklahoma is at the heart of the public discourse right now. And I'd like to ask you both for your thoughts about the importance of an exposure to the arts and the opportunity to participate in the arts in public schools and how important that is for a child's future.
Well, I, of course, think that it's crucial, and I'm an Oklahoman. I grew up here, and I had opportunities as a young person in school, and I'm not sure that school children have those same kinds of opportunities now. That's why the McKnight Center and other arts nonprofits really have kind of stepped up to fill that void. But for me, the arts are this universal language. I think there is the potential for a meaningful shared experience that transcends, you know, culture and language, and it teaches you about literature and history, and there are so many facets to music, and these are the things that, in my mind, really speak to our sense of humanity. For me, they help make us a complete person and understand the world better. They help us feel and heal. There just are all kinds of dimensions to having great art experiences. And I think that it is a huge disservice to young children to not be able to have those opportunities.
Well, that was just incredibly inspiring.
Oh, well, thank you.
It truly was. And, you know, I'll just add to that, that there are so many studies that show children's brain development is hugely impacted by studying music and by engaging both sides of the brain, the feeling side of the brain, the more scientific, tactile side of the brain. And, you know, you cannot deny the research that's out there. What parent would not want that for their child? And then on top of that, you know, in this age, and in fact, Mark and I were having a conversation recently just about technology and social media and how this has all exploded. But this is not creativity. Kids need, we all, but starting from our youth, we all need a creative outlet. There are studies saying that children just having imaginary play all by themselves in a room, this is critical. You may think your child's crazy, but it's actually a really important part of their development. And for especially now more than ever, for kids to have that, to tap into that creativity and the unifying elements of art and music is critically important that we have that connectivity. And then on another level, this is once this, the sooner the better with a young person when they realize what this does for them, then they bring that into the future. And this also does create future audiences, and we keep this art form alive. And, you know, and I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing kids respond to music or to rhythm. You know, another element, I had this experience personally, is my grandmother, a wonderful woman, at the end of her life, she had pretty severe Alzheimer's. Well, the one thing that whenever I'd go visit her and we'd sing songs and she would remember songs and nothing else, but she remembered music. And that's just unbelievable to me. You know, so I'm just in awe of everything the McKnight Center is doing on these lines, truly. I mean, it's just so important.
Well, and here you are both planting roots in the community, launching this music festival, making beautiful music this week. At the same time, another chorus is echoing from the corner of University and Hester with the construction of the McKnight Center. What's it like for you to see this thing rise up from the ground?
It's absolutely inspirational. And, you know, it's a magnificent facility with lots of capabilities. We talk a lot, my board, our leadership, about how much we think this is a game changer for Oklahoma State University, for the community of Stillwater. And we really are looking at serving the entire state of Oklahoma as a art and culture destination. But, you know, I'm on site every week. It changes every week. You know, every time I go in, something else, you know, has gone up. And it's really fascinating. And this is a complex facility. It's not like building an office building or a classroom. This is a facility that's designed to create the optimum listening environment for acoustic music. And so there are a lot of design features that go into a building like that. And so it's a long process, about 2.5 years of construction. And we're about halfway through, about midpoint, I would say, right now. But it's very exciting. I'm more frequently taking visitors into the building, and there's no substitute. I can talk about it all day long, but there's really no substitute for taking somebody into the space and them really getting a sense for the reality that's coming at us very, very quickly. It's exciting.
How does the festival change once the McKnight Center is open, or does it?
We've talked about that a little bit. I would say we've got some more thinking to do on that right now. The festival, we're going out into the community and we're going to other cities so that we can share with people our music so that they'll understand what it is that we're going to do at the McKnight Center once it's open. In the year that we do open, the festival will have its home base in the McKnight Center, and I think probably all of our performances will be there. We will evaluate and look at how do we maintain this unique intimacy in the context of a new performing arts center, and we'll be very sensitive to that.
That's what's so exciting. You were asking earlier, what are the challenges of starting a festival from scratch, right? And so you can just imagine there's so many various elements that go into this, but what's really fun is to, like, at the end of this week, we'll then be evaluating and looking at, okay, what do we need to do better? Where can we be reaching people that we're not? You know, so I think at this point, I know it's all happening very quickly, but a lot's going to happen between this inaugural festival and the one next year and when the McKnight Center is actually open. And, you know, we're just going to be looking at how do we form that and how do we adapt to this new space while still being so inclusive of the community and, like Mark pointed out, the intimacy, the relationship with the OSU students, which is so important, and with the local student body, you know. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Lots of question marks, but good question marks.
They are.
Right?
Well, it's kind of like having a blank canvas. And
it really is.
And a bunch of paint.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, we're so excited for you. Is there anything that you'd like to add today that I might have missed?
I just want to, again, invite people to come to our free community concert on Saturday, April 14th. It's at 7:30 at the Saratine Center. If you want more details about any of the festival, you can go to our website, which is McKnightCenter.org.
That's great. Well, thank you both so very much for coming in and visiting with me today. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks so much.